You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hey, welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, January, 19th? Wednesday, January 19th.
Yes.
Well, first off, hi to Brian Pope. Brian used to be a fellow reviewer at DVD Verdict and is now retired and retired from DVD writing, review writing, I guess. And Brian and I have been in touch on Facebook a few times. And sorry, Brian, I've been really busy the last little while and haven't been back in touch with you. But hey, how's it going? Shout out to you. And also to Walt, Tanner. Walt is a longtime listener of View from the Couch. He and his wife, Lynn, have been listening for a long time, and he often sends us emails and says, hey, guys, how's it going? Did you think of this? Hey, did you see this? That kind of stuff. So, hey, Walt, how are you? Hope you're doing well, and I'll be emailing you back soon, probably. But there you go.
Sounded like he had a good Christmas.
Yes, it did. And Brian's doing well. He says he always appreciates the show. He and I kind of got talking about some of our favorite 80s toys. That was one of the first times that he had sent me a note on Facebook, was when we did our show before Christmas, talking about 80s toys and memories of 80s toys. So, Mr. Pope, so what is going on? The weather is getting better. It's going to be dramatically warmer.
Well, it's supposed to get better. It hasn't yet.
And the January 17th is known as Blue Monday. Did you hear that?
No.
So what Blue Monday is it's post, it's an actual thing. It's post, post Christmas. People are, you know, in a bit of a funk after the holidays, getting back into the regular routines, you know, dealing with bills. It's dark, it's cold, winter, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So apparently, now this is a little dark, but apparently suicide rates are higher around this time just because there isn't a lot to look forward to, I guess.
I'm not surprised.
Which is sad. It's very sad.
Yeah. I'm finding January okay this year. And I think last year was pretty okay too. But I remember when our kids were small, I hated it. It was a horrible month. It was very depressing and
I think it's one of the best times of the year, personally.
Yes, well, your birthday's coming up. You have something to look forward to. I guess there's something to be said for having a birthday in January.
You know what you're really good at?
What?
You take the cue of when I need to yawn. Because usually by the time we record, it's getting into the evening and I've had a long day and I'm tired. And usually you can tell when I need to yawn and you step right in and bridge the gap.
Thank you. I could do that more often if you'd stop talking more often.
Whoa. That's very hurtful. Wow, that's great.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I'll just throw you out there. So what are you getting me? Seriously.
For your birthday?
Yeah.
Well, I have one thing, and I had an idea for something else, and now I can't remember what it was, so maybe you're only getting one thing.
You know what a really good idea would be? Vegas.
We don't have the money to go to Vegas,
and I don't mean the TV series. No, actually, we were driving around the other day, and Connor suddenly said, Dad, are we going back to Disneyland soon? And I suddenly went, ding, right. It's two years ago. And the last time we went, we kind of said to Emily, we went around Connor's birthday last time, and Emily really wants to see it around Halloween, kind of. So thinking probably more maybe in October or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
October, November. But I was just chatting with Michael on email just a little while ago, actually. And I was trying to figure out if there was a time when Haunted Mansion, which as everyone knows is my favorite ride, when Haunted Mansion at Disneyland is in its normal form for a while and then changes into the Christmas form.
You mean so, Halloween?
Yeah, well, the holiday. Like their holiday theme is Christmas Halloween, so.
Okay.
Right, because Nightmare Before Christmas, right?
Yep.
You staying with me?
Kind of, yep.
Okay, so, and he said it's kind of a two-week span, so there really isn't a good time. Unless you're going to stay down there for 2 weeks. We were thinking 10 days, but 14 is maybe a little long.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but I think if we were going to be there all that time, I'd also want to do other things. I wouldn't want to be at Disneyland for 10 days straight.
Yeah, 10 days straight. You wouldn't? You could just leave me there.
Well, I mean, I would, but then it would... No. Six days. 4 days to do something else.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I have a lot of saving to do. That's all I know.
Yeah. That's the thing, hey?
Wait, there's more bread to be won. So what's going on this week? Let's see. Well, we finally got a chance to watch Waking Sleeping Beauty.
Speaking of Disneyland.
Yeah, speaking of Disneyland. And this is quite a Disney-centric episode, actually. I didn't really think of that until now. But tell us about Waking Sleeping Beauty. What's that all about?
Alrighty.
Is it a documentary?
Well, it is kind of, yes, actually. It was directed by Don Hahn, who is a Disney film producer.
Yep.
Came out in 2009. And
just came out on DVD not that long ago, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Must have been aired in 2009. I don't know. Anyway, it documents the history of Walt Disney feature animation. So it talks about The Fox and the Hound to The Lion King. Kind of covers the Little Mermaid, Sleeping Beauty, or not Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast.
Well, and what it basically does is it starts out by saying... The Black Cauldron was a particularly dark time for Disney animation because
it did really badly.
It was expensive, and basically they were talking about shutting down the whole feature animation division.
Yeah, and then this was kind of how it revived, which is why they're calling it Waking Sleeping Beauty, yes. I imagine.
And it also goes back and it really tells the history of the animation division of Disney. From the time when the old men who were kind of the...
Starting to retire and on the way out.
Yeah, and there were new young guys who were full of energy, but there was really no support from the studio to do big features anymore. They didn't make money. You know, it was just... So, anyway.
Yeah. It was very well done. It was very interesting. It had a lot of... historical footage they used, and
one of the coolest things is a lot of archival footage, and you know they'd be touring around through the animation studios and they'll go, oh, who's this? Oh, it's Tim Burton.
Yeah,
looking like he's maybe 20 or something.
Yeah,
and then you hear, you know, someone's behind the camera and they're talking, and who's that? Oh, it's John Lasseter.
Yeah,
so it's just, you know, it really makes you realize what great people were in the animation division at the time when it was having so many struggles.
Yeah, yeah.
But, people like Tim Burton, John Lasseter, Don Bluth, who, of course, broke off from Disney and started his own animation studio, which was kind of a nasty blow to Disney at a time when they were already down.
He took half their staff with him when he left, so that wasn't so good.
Yeah, but animator directors like Mike Gabriel, Rob Minkoff, Roger Allers, Gary Trousdale, Kirk Wise. So all these guys who would go on to direct Beauty and the Beast and a lot of these other features that really turned things around.
What was particularly interesting, I found, was following Alan Menken and Howard Ashman.
Yes, I was just going to say.
Created the music for
Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, working on Aladdin.
Yeah, so that part was interesting too. Oh, I see here now that it debuted at the 2009 Telluride Film Festival.
Telluride. Yes.
And then played at film festivals across the country, then had a limited theatrical release, and then I guess DVD. Recently was released on DVD.
Yeah, so if you are a... it's very interesting, too, because it also talks about the politics at the time and who was in charge of Disney at the time. So Michael Eisner, Frank Wells, Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Yes, a lot about those guys.
A lot of the politics stuff and the personality conflicts and stuff that they had at the time, so... A very interesting time and definitely a transformational time for Disney.
Yes.
So about a 10-year span when they turned things around.
Yep.
From 1980 to Lion King's release in 94. The film covers that whole range. So Waking Sleeping Beauty, if you're a Disney fan, kids wouldn't really be interested. But if you're a Disney fan, you're an adult, Very interesting to see this part of the history of Disney and also some of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yes, and you may remember the, I think it's Walt, A History or something like that. We have that book. Yeah, we've talked about biography. That in the past, too. Covers some of this in there as well. So another good reference if you're looking for more history on or information on
Walt, the man, the myth.
Walt's history and Disney's history. Yeah.
Another thing that I found very interesting. Wow. And I thought I knew a lot about Disney. I had an epiphany when watching Waking Sleeping Beauty. I have always thought that Roy Disney, the Roy Disney that I know, was Walt's younger brother. Well, it's his nephew. So not only had
short argument about that, actually.
And I lost. I had never really seen any pictures of Roy O. Disney, who was actually Walt's brother, and Roy E. Disney was his nephew.
Right.
But Roy E. looks way more like Walt than Roy O., his actual brother. So anyway.
You were confused.
Yeah, I was confused. And it was very strange because, like I said, as long as I've known or been interested in the stuff beyond the TV, the TV shows and the movies and all that and the parks, once I started to get interested in the history and all that kind of stuff, I was sure that was his brother. But silly me, I was dead wrong.
You really should read that book we have.
I will. I really will.
Okay. Good plan.
So moving over to something different, The Cape, new NBC TV series that debuted, what was it, last weekend, I guess?
Yes.
Roughly, Sunday night? Ago. I think it was Sunday. So it debuted Sunday, January 9th, 9 p.m. Eastern. Where do we start? I had heard a little bit about it a long time ago, and then it just kind of... slipped my mind, I guess. And then all of a sudden I read something online about it and it popped up, all of a sudden I saw that the premiere was happening. So, it's an American superhero drama series. As we mentioned, it's NBC and, it's set in the fictional city of Palm City, like Metropolis or Gotham, right, or things like
any
that.
Any other made-up superhero city you'd yes. like to think of?
Yes. So, superhero drama, action adventure, some great great actors in it. David Lyons, Summer Glau is in it.
Whom we particularly support. Go Summer!
Yes, go Summer. She just needs to find a series that stays on the air.
I don't think this is going to be it, quite frankly.
No, between Firefly and Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles. So, the premise of it is, and hold on to your hats, kids, because you'll never have heard anything like it. Cop is thought to have been killed, so he becomes this alter ego superhero called The Cape. And part of the joke in the series is that nobody takes the name The Cape seriously as a superhero name, which
for some unfathomable reason.
Yes. So there's some kind of neat stuff in it. There's some good writing in it. There's some bad writing in it. It's fun. The music is all composed by Bear McCreary, who of course did the Human Target theme, which is I don't know if you watch Human Target, you've noticed probably right away season 2, for some reason, the Emmy award winning theme that Bear McCreary created just disappeared. They have this other stupid theme there that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit. It's lame.
It makes Kent very angry.
It does. I have to plug my ears and go la 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 every time the show comes on because I can't watch the opening credits because they're ruined now. I don't understand. I've looked online. I can't find a reason. So your theme song, your theme, opening theme to your TV series wins an Emmy. So let's change it.
Makes no sense.
The only thing that angers me.
Possibly maybe happened is he all of a sudden wanted more money for it or something. I don't know.
So anyway, stop hitting the microphone. So anyway, Bear McCreary composed all the music for The Cape. So really cool theme, great music. If you want to read some really cool stuff about geeky stuff about soundtracks and composing and you know, that kind of stuff, go to Bear McCreary's blog, because he talks at length about Human Target and all his composing for that. He talks at length about The Cape. He talks a lot about BSG. He, of course, composed all the music for the Battlestar Galactica series. So, just awesome. And he's 10 years younger than me, so clearly I've wasted my life. So, will it last? That's a good question. It's really cliched, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It doesn't take itself too seriously, and that's a good thing. I don't know.
It's what it's going to come down to. What the numbers are. Right?
I seriously doubt it will last.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, not in the way that I've said before that I liked Firefly so much it had to be canceled. So I don't know. I'm on the bubble with The Cape. It's fun. If it stays on the air, I'll continue to watch it, but I don't think it's going to last. I would seriously really, really, really be surprised if it was renewed for another season.
Yeah.
Because right now it's a mid-season replacement, so they'll get maybe half a dozen episodes.
That'll probably be it, I bet.
Yeah, I think in the summer we'll hear, not coming back.
So. Yeah. Another one we need to watch a little more of again is No Ordinary Heroes.
We have kind of
fallen off the...
I've been saving the episodes, but that was something we had started to watch with the kids.
Yeah, we need to catch up on that a little.
Yeah, redo that, because we've probably got a dozen or so episodes.
Have you heard anything more about that show?
I haven't. Yeah, I heard.
The initial word was that they didn't think that was going to last either, right?
I've heard picked up. It was kind of on the bubble, and I think I heard that it was picked up. So that's good. That's good news.
Excellent.
Yep.
Do we want to do this now or
yeah,
that?
Yeah, go ahead. No, okay. Go ahead.
So the Golden Globes were on the other night, last night? Sunday night.
Yes.
Which was last night. Well, yeah. Sunday night. Anyway, there were some surprising wins. I was surprised to hear that Natalie Portman won for Black Swan.
Okay, and we haven't seen Black Swan.
No, we haven't. But my understanding was that was going to kind of fly under the radar because it just didn't create enough buzz, if you want. But apparently it created enough for her to win Best Actress.
Huh.
In a drama. I don't know, do they have Best Actress in a Musical? I don't totally understand the categories at the Golden Globes.
And who won Best Actor in a TV series, comedy, or musical? That'd be Jim Parsons for The Big Bang Theory. Good job, Jim. Way to go.
Yay. Best Actor in a Motion Picture was Colin Firth for The King's Speech.
Yes, which Tim was saying he was going to go and see soon.
Glee also won a few awards. I think they won 3.
Okay.
So they did okay, and, I'm just trying to find who won Best Picture.
Christian Bale got Best Supporting Actor, Katie Sagal won Best Actress in a TV series drama for Sons of Anarchy, Steve Buscemi won Best Actor in a TV series drama, who else?
I'm trying to see who...
Oh, interesting, the score for The Social Network... done by Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, and Atticus Ross.
Oh, that's right. I heard
won
that.
Best Original Score. Toy Story 3 won, no big surprise, Best Animated Feature Film. Yeah, lots of good stuff. And, of course, Golden Globes Now, and then Tuesday the 25th, the Academy Awards are announced. Nominations.
That's right. That's right. So we're into the awards season.
We are.
Woohoo.
Once we start to come out of hibernation from the winter, we begin to see the award shows.
Yes.
And there is a plethora of the award shows. I'm looking forward to the technical Oscars. That's always my favorite good time to watch
Oh, yes. There's a quick rundown of those in about a 2 minute
held at
segment.
A McDonald's and people get breakfast burritos and it's over.
Pretty much.
It's usually hosted by a really hot actress.
Yes, to keep everyone awake.
Yeah.
But just getting back to Natalie Portman quickly, apparently she did worked incredibly hard to do most of the dancing in this film herself.
Oh.
And apparently did a very, very good job.
Huh.
So I'd love to see it just for that alone because,
I
love ballet, but it'd be very interesting to see her dancing like that.
It would. And I'm frankly more interested in seeing her in Thor, but...
Thor. Is she in Thor?
Yeah. It's the love interest,
oh,
remember?
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting that.
Speaking of that, there are some pretty cool images on the web right now of Chris Hemsworth as Thor in a kind of an angry pose with his Mjolnir, his hammer out, and his Thor costume. Looks pretty cool. Couple shots of Chris Evans as Captain America in costume. Looks pretty cool.
Good.
The way they've done his costume is it's leather and straps and stuff, so it kind of looks more military than Captain America, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is how he started.
Okay.
So, super soldier.
Guess they're hoping for a trilogy, then.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, if they're starting at the very beginning of the story,
yeah,
when he's more military because he started out that way, then they're obviously hoping that they'll be able to continue the story, right?
Well, I don't know.
See what I'm saying now?
I guess whatever. there's.
I should flick your ear for that.
No, why? Because I whatevered you.
Yes.
Oh, that's all right. You'll get
dissing
over.
Dissing my opinion.
Dissing your ride. You don't have a ride. Speaking of rides,
have you
run into anybody lately?
No.
Oh.
Run into?
Yeah. Michelle tends to slide into people in the winter. So I'm keeping her in vehicles as much as I can.
Yeah.
I want to get you a big inflatable clown car next winter.
That's what I'd love to have one of those.
That'd
I
be awesome.
Would love it.
Boing!
That'd be sweet.
It would be sweet.
You wouldn't have to worry about the crunchity crunching and the
smackety
smacking and the breakity breaking.
Well, and I wouldn't have to come home dreading, what have you done now? what the heck were we talking about?
We're moving on.
No, well, Captain America, he starts in World War II, right? So then he has to somehow end up in contemporary time, so he's frozen, is the way it works in the comics.
Okay.
So maybe that's what they'll do in this film. Your eyelid is twitching. Are you tired?
I'm tired.
Are you winking at me? Are
no.
you having a stroke? So there you go. Anyway, over
tired
to,
and oxygen deprived.
Over to more Disney information. Finally, Connor got his groove on or whatever and said for pretty much a week nonstop, I want to watch Nightmare Before Christmas. I want to watch Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm not scared of it anymore. I want to watch it. I really, really want to watch it. Now, last time we were in Disneyland, we got Connor Zero. Stuffed animal.
Yes.
Or Stuffy, as the kids call it nowadays, and I'm just not down with that.
It doesn't really look like Zero from the movie.
No,
though.
It's cuter.
It's a down. It's a baby it's down a, version.
Yeah, babyish giant head kind of thing. But anyway, so Connor really loves this stuffed animal. So he wanted to see this again, and he remembers full well that he was scared by it last time. But
although he only watched the first 2 minutes.
Right. And it was like, no, I'm out of here. So he watched the whole thing this time. We watched it in Blu-ray, which was nice. And, you know, I won't go into too much detail because most people know this film. I'm a big fan of it. And I especially I just like Halloween. I like Halloween. I like kind of gothic, spooky stuff. So
leave it to Tim Burton to try and wrap Halloween and Christmas into one.
He's nuts.
And honestly,
I love him.
I realized after you guys had already finished watching this the other day that I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's awesome.
I was thinking of The Corpse Bride and assuming I had seen it because I had seen that,
right.
Not thinking that they were two different movies, actually.
So, meanwhile, before I was walked all over there, talking about Jack Skellington, and I like the movie, and I like the whole Halloween spooky thing, so
right.
Pretty much isn't a year that goes by without me getting something Jack Skellington. So you've got me t-shirt before. This year you got me a cool, cool coffee mug.
It's probably the only thing I got you for Christmas that you liked.
That's not true. I like that police book. I like that Sting Blu-ray that you got me.
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
We're in counseling over failed Christmas gifts. So Nightmare Before Christmas, often promoted as Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. 1993, stop-motion animation, directed by Henry Selick and produced, co-written by Tim Burton. So it's the story of Halloween Town and Christmas Town. Danny Elfman wrote the film score and also does the singing voice of Jack. The film is voiced by Chris Sarandon, Catherine O'Hara, William Hickey, Ken Page, Glenn Shaddix. Shaddix? I don't know. So over the years, Burton had regularly returned to this idea in his mind. And finally, in 1990, Burton and Disney made a development deal. So they started production in 91. But then, originally, Walt Disney was going to just release it under their Walt Disney Pictures banner, but decided that it was a little bit scary, maybe, so they released it under Touchstone instead.
And what is the storyline? I have no idea.
What's the storyline? What's the best way? So there's Halloween Town and there's Christmas Town. So they kidnap Santa. Jack basically accidentally opens a portal to Christmas Town and discovers there's this whole other world where it's Christmas and there's presents and thinks it's pretty...
And it's happy instead of black. Yeah, and he's, dark.
He doesn't completely understand. So he tries to explain to his friends in Halloween Town, and they don't get it.
Okay.
So he becomes obsessed with Christmas, and he basically wants to take Santa's place. So they kidnap him. It's a little bit Grinchy, almost.
Because, okay.
Yeah, so...
They kidnap Santa, and then he takes his place.
Yeah, and then ultimately, they try... Sally, who is Jack's girlfriend, basically...
Okay.
Works to free Santa, and so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a good story. And, of course...
Is it less scary than Corpse Bride? Or less creepy? Or...
No, it's weird. It's just as weird as Corpse Bride or Beetlejuice or it's Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Or Edward Scissorhands, for that matter, is weird.
Yeah.
So one of the really... So a great movie. Connor really enjoyed it. He fully admitted, still creepy, but he's good with it.
And he, all the monsters popping out at him from everywhere were freaking him out.
Yeah. But he's okay.
But he was going to be able to sleep.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to have bad dreams.
Yeah.
But they did freak him out.
Did he have bad dreams?
I don't think so, no.
So,
Yeah, he slept through the night.
So if you haven't seen it, it's great. It's absolutely great. It's a lot of fun. The music is great.
And Emily also didn't seem to have a problem, hey?
No. Not at all.
So, no. I guess, 9, 10 is probably the age where you'll find your kids can sort of handle it.
That's right.
Unless they're, like, really not scared of anything.
Yes. And what child is not scared of anything? I'd be afraid to meet them.
I don't know.
So, next week, I believe we'll be talking about, will we hit the Academy Award nominations in time? We may. We may talk about that a little bit. And we're going to talk to the kids a bit this week about some of the stuff that we watch, but there just isn't time. So,
no, there really isn't.
No, they're busy, we're busy, I'm tired. And that's that. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. It was fun. And make sure you close the door behind you on your way out. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.